Tommy, sir.
Well, he, yeah, there's another, there's.
Oh, I'm sorry.
25144. That's okay.
No, never mind, that's wrong.
Good afternoon, your name, sir?
My name is Detective Kevin Foster, Leathersfield Police Department, FOSTER.
Summary of the case, detective?
This is a case of, omission or a lie. The Leathersfield Police Department believes that the appellant, when filling out his application, did not state the full details of his arrest. Indicated that he did have an arrest, but only indicated that it was just a misdemeanor from New York. Failed to mention that it was actually a sexual assault from New York. And I'll get more into it when I present my case.
A summary of your case, sir?
That's accurate, but it wasn't done intentionally. I made a mistake. I did put down that it was a misdemeanor, but I did not put down that it was a sex abuse charge.
But your case in chief.
So, as you all know, the criminal history portion of the DPS 799C states, have you ever been arrested for any crime in any jurisdiction? The appellant selected yes, and then there's a caveat, if yes, list all arrests including charges, locations, dates of arrest, and dispositions. The appellant wrote down 2008 New York misdemeanor, as I stated earlier. While conducting his fingerprints, the CCHRS FBI came back with a positive hit, which showed that the appellant was arrested in 2008 for sexual abuse third, and forcible touching of another. That prompted me to look into the case. It was actually an arrest from 2007, I apologize. The conviction was in 2008, where the appellant pleaded guilty. And so I looked into the case just a little bit more because I didn't think that was, how could that be a misdemeanor with those charges. So looked into it. The arrest was actually based on the appellant was a conductor of an MTA train from Connecticut to the city, to New York City, at which time we'll just be brief about what the actual allegations were, but that he had groped a person on the train who was intoxicated, younger female, and even after feeling that it was unwarranted, or that she didn't really like his presence there. This caused her to feel uncomfortable. She left the train with her friend and later reported the incident to her father, who then reported it to the MTA police eventually. And so that caused him to have an arrest warrant and I would assume likely lose his job because of that. So I understand that it was a long time ago. The appellant has had very little interaction with the police department. I think he was a passenger in a motor vehicle stop. And he left his credit card at a local gas station. Other than that, we've had no interaction with him. And we denied him for the the omission of, which to us is a very large omission, which you don't just put that you had a misdemeanor arrest when the specific caveat suggests that you list the charges. And so we felt that the lying was enough to deny him his pistol permit application.
Was there just one instance?
It was one instance, yes, one arrest.
But several, a couple incidents, I mean, within that arrest, there was a first touching, second touching.
Multiple charges.
Different body parts. I mean, we have the report here.
Yes, you have the report.
Would you like to cross-examine the detective?
I mean, I have nothing to say. I mean, I took a plea deal because.
This is what they.
Oh, I'm sorry, I have no questions.
No questions. Yes.
On the application, I just had a question. Under the, have you ever been convicted under the laws of this state, federal law, or other laws of another jurisdiction? What did the appellant check?
He selected no.
So, and is that an accurate statement?
It is.
He was convicted in New York for the sex abuse third and the forcible touching, correct?
He was.
So that should have been listed also, correct?
I agree. Okay.
Is Weathersfield concerned regarding the facts and circumstances around that arrest from 07 regarding the appellant's suitability at this time?
So I would say that,
hate to put you on the spot, but
no, okay. That's okay. I would say that the nature of what occurred, the fact that he was in a position of authority as a conductor on the train, and then had the incident occur, and we sort of think to ourselves, is would that situation been worse had he had a firearm, or is the type of person that you want having a firearm the same person that would abuse that type of authority in the sexual abuse or assault of an individual? And so for that reason, the suitability would be in question.
And I know we can refer to the report. The victim, how old was the victim at the time?
You know, I don't recall. I can find it.
Yep.
Find it. Looks
and
like
85
date of birth.
Yep, so 22. Okay. Yep. About.
It don't look like the appellant was 25 at the time?
Right.
Yeah. The victim, there was an arrest at the time, but the victim did come back and make a complaint. And actually, they went to the
Transit Authority?
Yeah, went to the MTA police, did the investigation, but actually went all the way to doing a photo array, the whole. You know,
yes.
It was a fairly.
It was a complete investigation.
Yeah. That's the only question I had, ma'am.
Any other questions? If he had fully disclosed this incident, would your decision have been any different?
That's a great question. Well. Since I apologize. Is it captain or is it colonel? I heard a colonel earlier. Is it colonel?
That was a long time ago.
Colonel.
Don't worry. You can say sir. You can say Kyle. That's fine.
I know
you can say
captain
Kyle. That's fine. No, that's
a long
fine.
Time
that's
ago.
You can.
Yeah. But as he pointed out, the secondary, whether or not he had been convicted, is a second, if you will, a second violation of this, but. I don't, to answer your question truthfully, I think that the fact that he had a no other issues with Weathersfield, he's not in trouble, arrest from 2008, even in the, had it been in this state, would not have kept him from getting that, getting a pistol permit, even with that arrest had it been fully disclosed. So I believe that we probably would have approved him. had it not been for that.
Any other questions? Your turn for your case.
I mean, just to tell you about myself, I'm a father of two children. I have a 15-year-old daughter, a 13-year-old son. I've been married for, geez, 21 years. I was married at the time this whole incident happened, which when this happened, it was a very trying time for my marriage because, and I don't know if this will be good or bad to bring up, but the girl's father actually worked for the Department of Homeland Security, which I found out through my lawyer that I had hired. And I was told by my lawyer that based off of what was in the report, which the only thing I did was pick her up and redirect her to get off the train. That was the only physical contact I had with her. Everything else was inaccurate, but it was a he said, she said. And when my lawyer, my father, my wife, we all talked about, I was either facing 7 years in prison and going against the jury, or to take a plea deal and be on the registry in Connecticut for 10 years, and then it would be a misdemeanor. That was recommended to me why I took that deal and didn't pursue it further. But like I said, as far as raising kids, I'm a coach in Weathersfield for the baseball league. I coach my son in basketball. I coach my daughter in the softball league. And one of the things I try to teach the kids is to be accountable for your actions and be good human beings. And I take accountability for doing something incorrectly at that time by picking her up and redirecting her because she was not where she was supposed to be on the train. But also when it comes to the paperwork, you know, as far as making the mistake of, like I said, I didn't do it on purpose. It's going to sound, I didn't want to bring it up as well, but when I was doing the test, we filled out the paperwork there. I have a Jeep Gladiator, and I hit the top of the doors off the Jeep, and it actually started downpouring. So while I was filling out the paperwork, my mind was a little distracted, trying to figure out if I should go outside and cover it. So I mean, it's not an excuse, but those are just facts of why that was missed, and I should have reviewed it. I take accountability for that. You know, the report was submitted, so I apologize.
Do you have any questions to ask him?
I do not.
What were the original charges? Sounds like it must have been a felony.
It was a felony, but I don't know, to be completely honest, I don't remember what it was.
And you put on your application, I'm not reading it, but 2008 misdemeanor?
It was a 2008 misdemeanor, right. Because that's what I did.
But the point is, was that your only arrest in your life?
When I was, I don't know, I was a minor, I again got caught stealing at Leashmere.
Okay. What is your conviction for? What's the charge?
For this?
Yeah.
I believe it was sex abuse in the third degree.
All right. Did you know that when you filled out the form?
Yes.
Okay. And why didn't you put it on the form?
I was going to go back and finish it, and I thought I had finished it, like I said, my mind.
Yeah. What it sounds like is, I mean, it's embarrassing. I'm sure it's embarrassing to talk about.
It is, yeah. Yes.
And you were minimizing it, hoping to kind of slide through.
I wasn't trying to do that. I honest to God, I wasn't trying to do that.
You couldn't have thought it would have been helpful to you to put sexual abuse third degree or whatever it was, right?
Absolutely, I could have. It could have been helpful.
So I'm sure that's what the issuing authorities think.
Yeah,
and he even said, if you've done it correctly, might not even be here.
As soon as I saw the letter, I was upset with the fact that I should have just put that down. And then,
well, my point is you knew what it was, but you didn't put it down. Because it was traumatic in your life. You knew what those charges were, but you didn't put them down. So. That's too bad.
kind of a delicate question, but so do you deny any inappropriate touching of the lady involved here?
As far as what she accused me of, yes. The only time I had physical contact with her was, she was, so at the end of the train runs, your train goes through into the yard. And we had to clear the train of any passengers. She had gotten up and started heading into cars that were basically shut down, like the lights were off and everything. I was trying to get her attention, like telling her she couldn't go in that direction. She had to get off the train, she wasn't listening. So I went up behind her, took her, just put her in the other direction, and then told her that she had to get off the train because it was, the trains needed to go into the yard. That was the only time I had physical contact with her.
So I know it's hard to get into the mind of somebody else, but why would she say that you did what you're accused of doing?
I have no idea. There was another girl that was with her, according, she had not a witness, but it was her and her friend, and I don't know why her friend didn't testify. I can't speculate on what was in her mind. I just know what happened between myself and her, and what was said was not actually happened.
Did the friend corroborate what the victim had said? No. Okay, thank you.
Is that the way you handle other passengers who are not going the way you think they're going?
No, I don't have that job.
No, but at the time.
No, that, I mean, it was, like
if,
I said, it was
if
the,
that
it was
were
absolutely
a 25-year-old guy, would you pick them up from behind?
It was the wrong, absolute wrong thing to do.
Have you done it before to anyone else?
No.
Okay, so why this girl?
I don't know. I don't have an answer for that.
Was she intoxicated?
As far as I can tell, yeah. I have no way of knowing. I would assume, I mean, it was late at night. You know, a lot of people that went down to the city would go down to the party, you know, party in New York City, but I don't know for a fact that she was intoxicated.
Anything else? Have I asked for final statements?
Not yet.
Do you have a final statement?
The only thing I could say is that I'm sorry that it even had to come to this point, because I should have just put down the sex abuse charge, as you stated, and we would have never even been here. Like I said, I'm not a bad person. I'm a husband, a father, and my son. You know, I hunt, and I've taken my son hunting with me. I've taken firearms courses. I've been unsuccessful hunting. It's been more of a nature observer type of situation. But my son, who wants to get into it, you know, I'm trying to teach him, you know, as far as doing the hunter safety courses, how to go about things the right way, following the laws. This is, if I were to get the permit, it would be for recreational use. My father has a membership at a gun club where I'd be able to, you know, go and target practice and eventually, you know, teach my son the proper ways to do those things as well.
Are you still on the registry at this point?
No, I was on for 10 years. And that was, not that it matters, but that was one thing I had to deal with when I got off the registry. We had a situation where somebody in my daughter's school had found out about it, so I had to address that, you know, with the parents. So it was, it rears its ugly head periodically over time, and it's something that I try to put in the past, but occasionally it comes back and bites me. And this is another situation where, like I said, I could have avoided it by just putting that down and hopefully not had to bring it up again, but it is, that's why I'm very nervous, because it's hard to talk about that situation, because
sure.
it was tough. But like I said, I'm a responsible person with my job. I'm a field trainer with what I do. So
what is it you do now?
So I do pest control. So when the first 30 days when we have a new hire, I'm responsible for teaching them how to apply pesticides legally, to follow all the laws, you know, that have been outlined, to make sure that they get their, you know, pesticide applicator license under the process of studying, to become a supervisor and taking a supervisory course for that as well, and doing all the testing. So because I'm not irresponsible, I just hope that you can see that.
How old were you, refresh my memory, back in 2007?
when this occurred?
185. Yeah, 25. And I was born in 82.
So. Were your children born at that time?
No, they weren't. And as far as the permit, one of the reasons my wife and I talked about getting a permit now is that our kids are older, not having a gun inside the house as far as a handgun. I do have a shotgun / rifle that I use for hunting, but that is locked up. The day I, filled all this paperwork out and took the test, I actually purchased a biometric safe for a handgun, which is still sitting in my garage because I didn't realize I was going to get, denied initially. So I'm hoping going through this process, I could actually take it out of the box once I get a handgun to use it.
What's your advice to your son about interactions with females?
Be very responsible and respectful. I don't want him, even when I walk by somebody, a female, my hand goes behind my back, so that there's no question that if I, like, I don't know if that makes sense, but when my hand goes behind so that I don't, unintentionally brush up against somebody. I don't want them thinking that. But as far as my son, it's being respectful to women, be respectful to his mother, not just holding doors, if there's, standing up for other people, if he sees, bullies and stuff like that, or if there's a situation where there's a woman, that's in need, or a girl that's in need or in trouble, to help, don't stand in the corner. So, like I said, as far as when I coach my boys and, the boys on the team or my daughter, I just want them to be good human beings. Because I'm not going to be here. At some point, we're all going to pass away, and I just want to make sure that they're doing the right thing.
Your children are aware of your past?
My daughter is. And again, that got brought up maybe about a year and a half, 2 years ago, where we had to address it with her. But as my wife has explained, that I don't want to say I was wrongly accused, but that's how it's brought to them, because there were things that were added in that report. And like I said, I was I had no shot because of the job that the girl's father had. And I didn't realize that was true until I saw in the report what his job title was. I had no chance. Like I said, that was from my lawyer and from my father, and talking to my wife, that, my wife told me she wasn't going to sit around and wait for me in jail. So I had to take
it. There are no cameras on the train?
No, there are now. I don't know because of that, but the new models that they have.
I just
took MTA this past weekend with my son. We went down to the Sig Big East Championship.
I'm not sure if it was Attorney Snetti asked very specifically, the only contact you had when you picked her up by the shoulders and moved her.
Correct.
In your written statement that you provided to the MTA police during your interview, twice you alluded to the fact that you were rubbing her neck and shoulders.
I didn't do that. I know what it says.
Yep.
And that's not what happened.
That you didn't provide a written statement to them?
No.
You never gave a written statement to the MTA police?
No.
Doesn't seem to be signed.
Oh no, this is a synopsis of the report.
Yeah.
But so did you do an interview with them?
I did an interview, yes.
Interview.
So I received a phone call stating that they wanted me to go down to Grand Central.
Yeah, and I'm just saying, it said following the voluntary written statement. You never gave a written statement?
No. Yeah, I was told that I was being questioned about a robbery that happened on one of my trains, which I knew nothing about, but they wanted me to come down to them, down to the MTA or down there, and that's when I got basically bombarded with two detectives questioning me about this woman that picked me out of a lineup, and the father, I didn't know anything about the father at that moment, but I found out, like I said, as the court proceedings.
But they, but you never provided a written statement to the police of the incident?
Not that I can remember.
Well, that's different then. So if you don't remember, you could have.
No, I did not.
Okay, just strange. It is very well articulated in the report that you did, that's all.
Yeah, I...
He could find it if he wants, if he chooses to look later and see.
Do you have a final statement? Have I already asked you that?
You did not. I'll be brief. Again, Colonel, I think you pointed out some questionable statements that were made here today about, you know, whether it be written statements, whether it be additional touching from that incident. And yes, we could say that happened a while ago. May not remember all the details, but I think it just shows that there's a pattern of untruthfulness. And just like we've seen here in the application, the omission, the libo omission is even, I think, expanded on by further testimony today. So with that being said, I have no further.
Thank you.
So this is a denial by the Weatherfield Police Department. Denials for suitability. The basis of the denial was the appellant's failure to completely disclose the charges regarding a 2007 arrest and conviction. On an investigation conducted by the MTA authority. And on its face, the appellant provided the date, the location, i.e. New York, don't know if that's city or state, the year, and saying it was a misdemeanor. It does ask for the charges. I can see how that could be construed by the appellant as enough information. The appellant very blatantly left the conviction information as no, he'd never been convicted when obviously had been convicted in that case. If that was an oversight, that's a big oversight. I do struggle though with, you know, the arrest happened in 08, the conviction was in 08. Even the Weatherfield representative today, the detective, stated that if he had completely filled out the application, they would consider, they probably would have issued.
Comments from the board? Mr. Gray.
three of them.
Yeah,
can't always pick on the
answer. Gonna wait and see. So I guess I'll start with the comments I didn't want to give. Yes, been a long time, and this thing has followed you. I think the disposition gave you probation and on a registry for 10 years, and then you have to raise kids and deal with it too. And unfortunately, it's led to all this. So certain things you don't get to walk away or escape from, but just because I believe in rehabilitation, and it seems you haven't had any other contact with police, I'm going to say appellant.
Attorney Sinetti.
Issuing authority.
Dr. Conrad.
Issuing authority. I would, at this time, I'd like to, since the representative of the chief is here and the chief has to make the decision, I would prefer to see the chief look at an application where the history is fully delineated and then make a determination. So I'm going to say issuing authority.
Colonel Overton.
Issuing authority at this time.
Chief Rosenzweig.
Issuing authority.
I also vote issuing authority.
Thank
with
you.
Some reluctance.
Yes. Yep.
Frankly.